abolitionist Frederick Douglass once said, "For you are prisoners of war in the enemy's country, of a war, too, that is unrivaled for its injustice, cruelty, and meanness." It is increasingly easy to stereotype the men and women on death row. The state does it every day, as does the press. Those banished to the most exclusive club in America are deemed worthy of damnation, and in truth, all are presumed guilty, for did not a jury say so? Then one meets Fred Thomas, 53-year-old great-grandfather, who was projected to a jury as homeless, heartless, and in the words of the DA, quote, a predator, unquote. In a brief, week-long trial that went poorly defended, a jury convicted Fred of first-degree murder, and a day later, on February 28, 1995, sent Fred to death row in Pennsylvania. Now, why should one care about a homeless, heartless predator? Clearly, the jury didn't. What the jury never learned was that an eyewitness, located the day after the killing of a FedEx driver in the so-called Badlands of North Philly, gave a statement to the cops that she witnessed the shooting, named two of the assailants, and described the third, none of which remotely resembled Thomas. Indeed, her statement was corroborated by another witness who saw the three men running away. I know. The question arises, well, how did the prosecutor convict this man? Well, in their first attempt, they didn't, for the jury refused to convict, and a hung jury was declared. In the second trial, the state provided two witnesses, both crack addicts, who claimed they saw Fred fleeing the scene, but even they couldn't go as far as saying they saw him shoot anyone, or even armed. According to the woman who did see the shooting, however, one of the assailants was related to one of the two witnesses who now placed Fred at the crime scene. These witnesses, both of whom had extensive criminal histories, were not asked about their drug-related activities despite repeated requests of counsel to do so. A homeless man, desperate for a dollar to survive, might rob and kill a truck driver, as would a drug addict. But Fred wasn't a homeless man nor an addict, but a hard-working man who worked a variety of jobs to support his growing family. When a group of his former and present employers appeared in court on his behalf, they were told by his counsel that they weren't necessary. So they left. The jury never heard from the main witness because she was threatened with the taking of her children. At an extraordinary bench warrant hearing to compel the witness's presence, the state revealed an extraordinary distaste for a person who gave a statement in a murder proceeding. The DA, quote, "Well, as I stated earlier, anything that the Commonwealth could do to us..."
This call is coming from a correctional facility.
"Back in October, I brought to the court's attention that, and we shared the information with defense counsel, one, that this person was on welfare under an assumed name." The defense counsel, quote, "Yes, I have that." The DA, quote, "Thus, there is a real basis for a charge of welfare fraud. We actively looked for her during the various tours of my officers were working." Unquote. That's from a pretrial hearing in Commonwealth versus Thomas in February of 95. Again, this is a witness, not a suspect. Contrary to popular opinion, under existing rules, the processing of a death sentence is the easiest in the system. Oh yeah, the cops involved, they're almost all doing time for the corruption scandal around the 39th Police District. Guess who found the witnesses? Guess who prepped them? And guess who advised others not to show up? The infamous 39th District, which has a certain expertise in using drug addicts and whores when they need witnesses, are at the root of why Fred Thomas is on death row and not at home with his loving grandchildren. He's innocent of murder, and as this was written, did have a date to die for November 23rd, 1999. He did receive, since this writing, a stay of execution. Now, in truth, this is his second death warrant. But the question arises, will he survive death row? A 53-year-old who recently was diagnosed as diabetic is now insulin dependent.